appreciate you because you have taught the word. You have done what you have been called to do. So many times we don't find shepherds who do what they are called to do. They start off on that path, but they don't follow. For 18 years. That's saying a lot. 18 years. Hallelujah. Thank you. And, you know, I have to say that even after she found love again, she said, listen, love, I love you. However, you're going to have to come to me because I am part of this congregation. For how long, God says, he may wake up, she may wake up in the middle of the night tomorrow and say, you know what? I said for you to move, just like he said. We know the word. He told Abraham, move. And she followed he followed God's lead. So I urge you, listen for the Lord's leading. Today, I have a very familiar scripture. And as soon as you hear it, you'll be like, oh, I already know that. I already knew that. Because you all have heard it. Psalm 23. I already knew that. Okay. I want you to hear from a new light today. Just glean some truths that you may have already heard, but it might be some truths and some nuggets that you haven't. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that you have smiled upon us and you said, wake up, my child. I thank you, dear God, for the privilege and the honor of standing here before your people. God, I ask that you download in me every single word that you want me to speak. And when it's done, for me to be still and know that you, Almighty Father, are God. I thank you for this great congregation of worshipers. We love you and we praise your holy name. In the matchless name of Yeshua, we pray. Amen. Recently, I was talking with Rabbi, and she told me about this book, Chaos, Crushing Chaos. And I started reading that, and I was thinking to myself, as I was reading that, that I was going to be able to share some nuggets from that book in here. And even though I wasn't able to grasp it and download it today, it still was because I was, as the brother asked me, what is the message? What are you? I said, I just keep hearing the word chaos. And we have a shepherd in the midst of chaos. We have a shepherd. David, he is the same David who wrote this. He's the David that fought Goliath, the David that became king. The David that was an adulterer and a murderer. And he was called a man after God's own heart. Before all of that, he was a shepherd. So he's talking from a perspective of being a sheep and seeing the Lord as his shepherd. He starts off saying, the Lord is my shepherd. He took ownership. It wasn't just a God out there. God is out there somewhere. No, God is my shepherd. And because he's my shepherd, I shall not want. There's nothing that I need because I know that he's my shepherd. Now, for those of you, we don't live in an era where we have sheep running around and we don't know a whole lot. I didn't know a whole lot about sheep until I read about it. There are some people who are sheep herders, and they know a lot about animals. I don't. So I had to read about it. It says that culturally, sheep are, I hate to say this word, but it's dumb animals. Okay? They aren't the smartest. What is the, not the sharpest pencil in the bunch? Okay? But, however, she provide wool. And sheep, for some people, like eat lamb, sheep provide food. Sheep provide milk. So they're valuable. God bless you. They're valuable. And back in the day, they were used as sacrifices in worship. But sheep, they get stuck. They can't find their way. They can't find food. They can't find. Are we sheep where we can't find? At times, even as intelligent as we are dumb. Because we don't always follow what God has called us to follow. But God watches over us. And it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We see God as a provider. He is a provider that says, you don't have to want for anything. Now, does that mean we're supposed to be these entitled people that get everything that we want to have? It doesn't mean that at all. But it means that we don't have to be anxious. We don't have to be stressed. We don't have to wonder about our next meal. We don't have to ask for anything that is outside of his provision. And the word says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So that means everything that he has provided for us. We, as his sheep, what we have to do is go to the shepherd and say, shepherd, there's nothing that I lack, because all I need to do is come to you, and it says, all greatest is faithfulness. All I have need of, he has provided. He has provided his mercy and his grace for us. The Bible is so full of stories that tells us how God has shown up in unexpected ways. We can go all the way back to Exodus, and we can see they needed food. And he provided what? Manna. All they had to do was go out and there's the food. So we have to ask. Ask, it shall be given. Seek, knock, and the doors will be open. But we have to say, God, thank you for being our shepherd. I shall not want. And then some of you are like me. And we have to lie down. He makes us lie down. He makes us lie down. Sometimes in the busyness of life. Those who know me know that I like to go. I like to go. And at one time, way back in the day, before I became as mature as I am now, I used to pride myself on being the Energizer Bunny. Just go, 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 go. Okay, 3 hours of sleep, keep it going, keep it moving. And I would say, I had this saying that I stopped saying years ago, I will sleep when I'm dead. Because somebody asked me, do you ever sleep? I ain't got time for no sleep. And now I cherish the sleep. Yes. Hallelujah for sleep. But it tells us that he provides rest for us. He has said, I want you to honor the Sabbath. Take time and rest. He said that I'm going to give you the peace that surpasses all understanding so that you can rest. One of the things that I found out about sheep, they just can't rest because they are fearful animals. They're afraid of everything. And they can't sleep. They can't lay down if there's something that's disturbing their peace, disturbing their rest. They can't stand pesticides. They can't stand any kind of insects or anything around them. Anything that will cause them to be disturbed will mess their peace
and they can't just rest. We're the same way. We lay down to rest, and then we think about, oh my God, I gotta pay that light bill. Oh my God, I gotta do, do, do. And we have all kinds of things that cause us stress where we cannot rest the way we are supposed to. But God says, I've taken care of all of that. All you need to do is lay down and rest. And I'm not gonna have you resting on some wooden plank. I'm going to lead you to green pastures. A place where it's green and peaceful and flourishing. But before you can do that, you first have to acknowledge that I am your shepherd and there's nothing that you need to want. And then when you can acknowledge that, then you can lay down and rest. And you can rest with the comfort of knowing that God is your shepherd and he has every single thing under his control. Often the things that we can't rest about are things we can't control anyway. We can't control world peace. We can't control anything that's going on. The government shut down. Can we control that? But God said the government is on his shoulders. So he's in control. Now, what we have to do as his sheep is to trust that he has everything under control. And then he leads me beside still waters. We don't know where to go. Sometimes we're going here, we're going there. But if we are allowing ourselves to be led by the good shepherd, he will lead us by still waters. Stillness. Still. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. Sometimes that is harder than you think it is. For those of you who know, I am one of my hats that I wear, other than being a pastor, is being a therapist. I think I'm a therapist longer than a pastor, but nonetheless, I tell people when they sit down, because sometimes they're like, oh, like, let's meditate. Just take a minute to be still. Just a minute. 60 seconds. And they often sit in the chair. We're not going to talk yet. It's only been 10 seconds. 10. Okay, so they'll try again. And then they'll get to 15 seconds. 60 seconds is a long time for many of us. But if we learn how to sit in his presence and say, you are the good shepherd. I enjoyed the worship today so much. And I like the fact that after the last song, there was a nice pause. So that we can continue to just bask in his presence. Bask in his presence. Enjoy the presence of God. Be still. And waters, Jesus, our living water. He leads us beside living water. He leads us because he wants us to be calm. He wants us to be at peace. Jesus, Yeshua, is the Prince of Peace. So that means God is leading us right to the Prince of Peace. He's leading us right there so that as we can stand and we can enjoy his presence, being in the presence of the living water, Yeshua, we can experience his peace and enjoy and bask in the blessings. Often we have heard this psalm at funerals, but this is not just for a funeral. It's something for us to live by every single day of our lives. The constant noise that we hear over and over, and social media has not helped us at all. Now, there's some good things on social media. I'm not going to say that everything is bad, but it's constant. Constant. There was a time when the television went down, what, midnight? You hear, oh, say, can you see? That means, that's it. That's all you get. We have 24/7 television. 24/7, 365 days of the year, round the clock. Something that's going to stimulate us. Can we be still? Just be still. And then he says, David says, he restores my soul. Our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. Our minds need to be renewed because it gets broken. And restoration means that it comes back to a place of being whole. It's not whole. We have had disappointments. We've had betrayals. We've had heartbreaks. We've had losses. We've had people shatter our dreams, and our minds and our emotions are broken. But God is the restorer. It says that he's the restorer of the breach in Isaiah 58. He restores things that have been broken. No matter how many psychiatrists, psychologists, or whoever you go to, they can assist what God is doing, but it is ultimately God who has to do the restoring of your soul, the mending of your heart. He's the one that does that. He restores my soul to healing. He restores my soul to coming into a place where I can see him high and lifted up and know that he is holy and know that he is the one that says, you are my child and I love you with an everlasting love. We look at how Joseph sold into slavery. He was broken. His soul was broken. But yet God brought restoration to him. Joseph was taken from his family, sold into slavery, into a whole land that he knew nothing about. But years, and I want to encourage any of you who have family members, friendships that have broken. If God says it's going to be restored and you are clinging to that and you believe that God is a healer and you believe that God said, this is the family that I have put you in, and God is the one that put us in our families. We have to admit that. We had nothing to do with any of that. Because some of us, truth be told, we would change our families. We're like, nah, I changed my mind. I don't want to be part of your family anymore. Now, we can do that when we're talking about we married into a family. But bloodline, that's God's business. And I've seen and I hear over and over how fathers and sons have broken relationships. Mothers and daughters have broken relationships. But God is a restorer of brokenness. But it's about his time and his season. And it's about us going to him and saying, good shepherd, I need you. I need you to heal. I need you to lead me beside still waters. I need you to restore my soul. Speak to the hearts of my family. Speak to the hearts of those who have wronged me. And God, give me the capacity to forgive. Because some of us are broken because we cannot forgive. But even today, the Lord's Prayer, forgive us. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others. We love to be forgiven. We all love to be forgiven. But do we want to forgive? Because truth of the matter is, we've all done something that we need to be forgiven for. And sometimes we don't even know what we did, or when we did it, or how we did it, or what we said, or whatever is going on. But we've done it. And if we are wise, when someone says or does something to us, we'll go to them and say, you know what? I was really hurt by what you said and what you did. And the person, what did I do? What did I say? And you tell them, and if the relationship can be repaired, then the person will say, please forgive me. Then you have the responsibility to say, yes, I do. I do forgive you. But that's God's business, and it's an inside job that he will do. He is faithful to forgive and restore. And then he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It's his name on the line. When you say that you are a follower of Yeshua, that means something to him. His name is on the line. That's his reputation. That's his reputation. Someone said something about me not too long ago that I was like, what does that mean? That's not true. I don't even know what that means. And I had to look it up and say, is that any truth in there? Because that's my reputation you're talking about. What I want to be called is a child of the Most High King. What I want to be called is a worshiper, someone who sold out for Christ. Whatever else I do, okay, I'm going to put it under the blood, and I'm going to ask Yeshua for forgiveness. But no, don't say that I'm something that I don't even know what that means. And then when you look up certain things and you see that you've done or maybe stood in that way, then people are like, oh, well, maybe they don't have an understanding of what that is. So when we ask God to lead us in the path of righteousness, it is a choice. It is a way that we can go, and we say that, God, I want to be led by your word, because your word is a lamp unto my feet. And when you put that lamp and that word right there, you'll see the light. And the way that you should go and the path that you should take. Every path does not lead us to salvation and righteousness. It may be a path that seems like it's good and it's fun and it's exciting. It's a worldly path. But is it the path of righteousness? Is it a path that will lead us to where God wants us to be? And then he says, yes, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Yes, I walk through. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. Now, for some of us, what in the world? You know, I love words. And when I was growing up, I used to hear all these words in church, and I had no clue what they meant. I'm just like, oh, yeah, that sounds good. It's a trial. It's a temptation. It's something that we would love to avoid. Yea, through I walk through the valley. We must walk through. We must make a bold statement that say, I'm not going to get stuck here. I'm going to walk through the valley of the shadow. A valley can be something that's dry, something that is really perilous. Because as I was talking about the sheep, they're going through some terrain that's maybe not, the footing is off, even though they kind of chunky and chubby. If you look at their feet are not. They have small feet. And as I see that, I say, I'm not going to fear, only because I know that I know that I know, Yeshua, you are with me. That's why I don't have to fear. And it's the valley of the shadow. Some of you are old enough to remember Dark Shadows. Now, how dark those shadows were, a shadow, in order to have a shadow, there must be light. It's a shadow. We don't have to be afraid. We have heard the term scaredy cat because this cat is scared of his own shadow. It's his shadow. It's your shadow. Why are we afraid of the shadow of death? It didn't say the valley of death. It says, I walk through the shadow. So when we are fearful, it's because we're not looking at the shepherd. Because David says, I will fear no evil because you're with me. And I know that these are perilous times. I know that these are trying times. I know that they are scary times. And I'm not going to stand here and say that we are never going to be afraid of anything. If you get a diagnosis that says something that is, you've got 6 months to live, you've got whatever it is that you've got, it's, oh my God, what am I going to do? It can be scary. But the bottom line is you say, okay, I'm not really clear on where you want me to go or how you want me to go. And this valley that I'm in right now, I'm not going to stay here and be afraid. I'm going to walk through it. I'm going to walk through it. And I'm going to walk through it with you. There's a song, I'm going to walk with Jesus, I'm going to walk. And I love that song because no matter where we're going, it says no matter where I go, what I do, I'm going to walk. I'm going to walk with Yeshua. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to walk through this valley. And then the part that we really don't like too much, your rod and your staff. They comfort me. Why would I have a rod comfort me? What is a comfort in a rod? That's discipline. I remember the rod. Now, in today's society, you get the rod. They're getting ready to call DCP&P. I don't know what it's called over here in Pennsylvania, but in New Jersey, it's DCP&P. It's the child protection because you touched your child. I have a young, enthusiastic therapist that just started working with us, and she comes into my office. She says, I'm going to have to call DCP&P. I said, what happened? The mother spanked her child. I said, really? Okay. Tell me more. Where did she spank her? Did she spank her on her face or on her bottom? I'm like, oh my God. She probably needed it. But I had to ask the questions. And when we finished having a conversation, she said, I guess maybe that's not appropriate to call DCP. No. She spanked her with a belt on her bottom. She probably needed it. She's a smart-mouthed 12-year-old. Are there any marks or any bruises? No, because we know that us as sheep, sometimes we need correction. Often we need correction. We don't want to be corrected. We live in a society that anything goes. But our God and our Father who loves us. And I heard you say, spare the rod, spoil the child. Our God is not going to cause bruises and marks and beat us up. He wants us to be corrected. He said in his word, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. That means he's not going to use something that's going to cause us to be bruised up. Now, he has to use that rod. He has that staff. He has that rod and that staff because when the sheep get out of line, come on, back over here. That's what he does. He loves us enough to correct us. He also says that it brings comfort. It brings comfort in knowing that if I get too far to the left, I have a God that loves me enough to say, no, you're going the wrong way. Get back on the path of righteousness. That should bring all of us comfort because even the GPS system, you go in and sometimes you miss your turn and it says, make a U-turn. Make a U-turn. I praise God for the GPS system. Because I was one of the ones who was getting MapQuest and I had to print it out and look and but it tells you to make a U-turn. We can make U-turns in life. When we come and say, God, you know, I heard you, but I just kind of ignored you. So I need you to bring some order into my life. That's what that rod does for us. And the staff, it brings comfort. It brings God. He got that hook. And he says, come on over here. He guides us. He leads us. It tells us in Hebrews that the Lord disciplines the ones he loves. A good parent does not let their child just run wild. They're going to say, listen, Johnny. You get it together. We're not going in the store and acting like you have no home training, okay? We're going to get this thing together. David says it brings him comfort because I know that I can thank God for loving me enough to bring me back into order. And then it tells us how life can sometimes seem like we have battles and yet he brings me to a table in the presence of my enemies. He didn't say he gets rid of the enemies. We're going to always have somebody looking at us with disdain or jealousy or hatred. We don't know why. Sometimes we remind them of somebody else, or sometimes we just stand for righteousness and they don't like that. And for some of you born of the Jewish heritage, and then you turn around and say that you messianic, you worshiping the Messiah, are you kidding me? Who are you to be? But when you stand for your belief and you know that this is what you believe, that Yeshua is Lord, forsaking all others, you watch what God does for you. He will set you a table right there in front of all your enemies. And even if they're not enemies, they're frenemies or whatever they are, he'll say, sit down and enjoy. They see the blessings that God is over and over just pouring out his blessings because of your praise, because of your worship, because you have sacrificed, and because you have said, I'm going down the path of righteousness because God is my shepherd. And I see that I don't have anything that I lack. There's nothing that I want. There's nothing that I need. And I am going through the process of walking down this path of righteousness. We can shut the mouths of, I love that song. We can shut the mouths of those who are listening and talking about us. And because he is the great I am, the lion and the lamb. And then as he anoints our head, anointing is not just for the preacher. Anointing is when our cup overflows, he anoints my head with oil and my cup overflows. That's divine favor. And it says in here that as we have been anointed, it symbolizes that we are followers of Yeshua. He uses this to show you're mine. The shepherd used anointing oil. They used to rub it on the sheep to protect against the pest. Yeah. And it would cause them to be at peace, and it would cause them to feel like they're protected from all the enemies and the diseases that the enemy could use to attack them. We can anoint ourselves because as the enemy of our mind wants to come and tells us that God doesn't love you because you're going through this disease, or God doesn't love you because you're behind in your bills. No, I anoint my head. He anoints my head with oil. And then he anoints my head because it's all the favor of God is upon me. And then because of that goodness, the twins, goodness and mercy, I'm walking down this path of righteousness, and goodness and mercy are following me. They're following me. I can see his goodness. He has unstoppable blessings after blessings after blessings. And I love the way, the fact that his love and the goodness and mercy are following, because when you have your heart set on loving God, your heart set on forgiving others, you have your heart set on following his precepts and the rest that he wants to give you, goodness and mercy are following you. And then he closes it with, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When we even right now can say, the word tells us he loves and he dwells in the inhabitants of our praise. Praise is now. His house that we can dwell in. We don't have to be in the house forever when we die. Because that's what I thought it was. Forever means when you die. But it means right here, you're in his house right now. You have transformed this place to a house of God. And this is the house of God. And you can dwell here now, but you can do it when you get outside, because the praise that you have already renewed and restored in his and your heart, it bubbles up when you get out there and that car tries to cut you off, and you can say, oh no, his goodness and his mercy are following me. His goodness and his mercy is all around me. His angels are encamped about me. He is my shepherd and he's leading me. And I can dwell here because he inhabits my praise. He inhabits my praise. I get in the car, especially when I'm by myself. I was being respectful of my grandson this morning because I had the music at a nice pace. Did I not? Jameer? I had the music kind of low. But I had that song that came on, Heartfelt Hallelujah, and I wanted to just blast it. I give my heartfelt hallelujah. Yes, woo! God, you've been gracious. God, you've been patient. Oh, yes. And then Holy Forever came on. And I had to get out the car right when it was coming on. So I was so gracious and happy to hear it played here, because he is holy forever. He's holy. And the fact that a holy God loves little old me, oh my God, that just makes me worship him over and over and over again. So yes, he is a chaos crusher. My shepherd is a chaos crusher. Because whatever's going on and the confusion that's going on, I can look to him and say, God, there's nothing that I want. There's nothing I want. I didn't see you earlier. It's good to see you. Sorry. I'm just always so full when I get around saints of God who love him. So, dwelling in his house forever, that's security. We can be secure in knowing that we have a shepherd who's never going to leave us, never forsaken us, never, ever, ever, no matter what we do, where we go, he's going, come on, get back in line, because I have something in store for you. This is the word of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. Father, we bless your holy name. We thank you for sending Yeshua to die for us. Sinful people that we are, you still love us. You are holy forever. I thank you, dear God, for this time that we've had to worship with you and be in your presence. Thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing right now. And we look forward to walking in your path of righteousness so that we can bring glory to your name for your name's sake. Thank you, God, for correcting us. Thank you, God, for telling us over and over again that you always will be there as goodness and mercy follows us. We bless you and thank you in the name of our precious Lord Yeshua. Amen.